Well, this just doesn't make any sense. I'm not complaining, mind you, but it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Let me read you what's on the menu. The chalkboard by the door says, "All you can eat steak. Unlimited potatoes, salad, dessert, bottomless pot of coffee." Now, that can be troublesome. I've yet to encounter a literal version of that, but, you know, it's been a long time, actually, since I've seen the bottomless pot of coffee on a menu, so it's entirely possible that some sort of truth in advertising laws made them literally remove the bottom from the coffee pot. So how exactly would you pour it? You'd have to slide a plate under it, I think. The waitress would probably give you instructions, and then tip it very, very, very gently. Or maybe use some sort of those tubes that they used to use to siphon gas out of cars in the 70s. I had a gas cap lock on my Pacer in the 70s because people were stealing gas. It's Mad Max territory, I'm telling you, the 70s. So maybe you would get that. You'd get the little tube and put it in there and get it going, and then get the coffee into your cup. And that way you wouldn't have to lift it up. And but if it's bottomless, how do they bring it to the table? They would have to put it, you know, something under it and then slide it out really quickly. But you're still going to have leakage. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, so you've got the steak, the potato, the pommes frites, if you wish, the salad, the bottomless cup of coffee, dessert. $4.99, and there's absolutely no way that they can make any money on that, and that's what doesn't make sense. And I'll tell you what. Oh, hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. This is James Lilacs at my accustomed place, the long boomerang pattern for Micah Counter here at the old diner out on Old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be at this very, very moment. Now, here's the deal. It simply makes no sense for the diner to sell steak for that low a price. You know, unless it's some ersatz soy-based steak that's grown in giant hothouses, I don't know. But the new owners of the diner have been very specific about wanting to squeeze as much, but wanting to return to profit. Well, we are profit, wanting to make more money of the diner. Let's put it that way. The diner makes money, just doesn't make enough. And at some point, it's going to start to lose money. So the new owners, who you may recall last year purchased the diner, and then I had to go back in time to stop them or something. I can't even quite remember what that all was about. That's the thing about being pitched back through time in a heedless vortex. After a while, you lose sight of your original purpose and just sort of sit back and enjoy the ride. Anyway, I failed, and the diner has been in new ownership for some time. And so far, it's been rather benign. Yes, there are fewer chefs, there are fewer dishwashers, there are fewer waitresses. But all in all, we're still here. The diner is what it is. But if we're not making money, or making enough, what are they thinking of by selling steak this cheap? Now, it's entirely possible that this is some rear guard action to destroy the place by a disgruntled cook who got his walking papers and is going to bring the whole place down with cheap meat. But no, and I'll tell you why, because I'm looking at the chalkboard by the door, and the menu is very carefully drawn. It's exquisitely lettered. It's not the sort of usual slapdash chalkwork that you usually see when one of the cooks walks out and puts up the special. It's very nicely done. It's very professional. And there's something else. There's something on the counter, and there's something in every booth, and it's right next to the little individual jukeboxes. They're rectangular objects, and they're all covered with a drop cloth. They were here when I got there today. They weren't here yesterday. And I don't know what they are. I suppose I could lift up the cloth and take a look, couldn't I? Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, wait a minute. One of the managers, well, actually the only one, they fired all the rest of them, come out from the kitchen, and he's wearing a green plastic eye shade, odd, and a white shirt, and a black bow tie. That's not diner garb. And he's removing the cloth covers from the devices that have been placed on the Connor... Oh no. Oh no. They put in slot machines. And, of course, people have started using them right away. Oh my God, this sound's gonna drive me nuts! Well, that explains the buffet. That explains the buffet. It's, they're turning the diner into a casino. What the hell? I didn't even touch the jukebox. Got a life of its own. Stop that! Stop that, Elvis! You mean the $4.99 steaks with the potatoes and the bottomless cup of coffee? Is that what you mean? Yeah. The grand jury is investigating! That usually shuts them up. Oh, God, this is going to drive me crazy. It's not that I don't like casinos. I think they're fascinating places. I just don't want to live in one. I don't want to work in one. I don't want to sit in one and try to read. I'm not going to be able to hear myself think in here with this tintinnabulating racket. I was actually in Vegas earlier this year, and I like the place. It's fascinating. And I did go to the casino. I always take a couple of double sawbucks to lose and just spread them out and attenuate the pleasure of losing them as long as possible, and you can get a couple of good hours of fun out of that if you consider staring at a video screen and slapping buttons while you're served potent bourbon to be fun. Then that's fun. The bourbon actually came as an act of pity on the bartender. I sat down at the bar, and I was playing this video poker machine, because video poker I'll play, you have some measure of control, of strategery there, if you will. And if you... I wonder if we have video poker here. They do. No. Anyway, I played it, and I was $17 up, and I figure, well, there you go. That's all I'm going to gamble. I beat the system. I'll be able to walk away from Vegas saying, yeah, I was up. I was up this time. How much did you win? 17. And if you say 17, people will think you're referring to $17,000 or something like that. The idea that you would actually take pride in walking away with Vegas $17 up is preposterous to most old gambling hands, but then again, I don't hang around with old gambling hands or the humanoids to which they are attached, so never mind that. I figured I was in, but of course the siren song of the machine drew me back. It was actually called Siren Song. They all have different names and elaborate backplate art. It's quite ridiculous. One of them was actually modeled after the Alien movie. The Alien movie. If you got five pods or something, yeah, I'm serious. If you got five face hugger pods, you would get a bonus, and you know, the bonus is a bony appendage down your throat that dumps a horrid xenomorph fetus in your stomach. Yeah, there's your bonus. God's sakes. Although, anyway, so I sat down again to play because, you know, $17 up, let's turn it into 34. Yes, and I just added that on the fly. It's that kind of mastery of numbers that led me to believe I could do well in Vegas. And instead of getting the machine I had before, which was very simple, very basic poker, this one had a feature which allowed you to lose four times as much money at the same time by playing a number of hands. And I had absolutely no idea how to play it. I put in my dollar, I looked at it, I goggled. I had no idea what to do. I pushed a button, I lost $5. And there's nothing more infuriating than losing $5, which is a fair amount of money still in my book, just by pushing a button and not knowing what you're doing. I mean, it's not even as satisfying as burning it. If you burn it, there's a lot more involved. There's the anticipation. There's the getting of the match. There's the dousing it with fluid if you want to go that far. There's the lighting it. There's the actual combustion. There's all, and then there's the crackling. There's the dust afterwards. There's a whole process of burning a $5 bill you can draw out to a minute or two. And it's big. Yep, $5 off, gone. Now, in one respect, I didn't quite mind. This was a very nice hotel. It was huge. It was gargantuan. And the amount of ersatz Renaissance art was stupendous. Every possible barrel vault, every wall, every elevator, every floor, everything was done like a Venetian palazzo. Matter of fact, it was called the Venetian, and next door to it was the Palazzo, which is the new addition. And these things cost a tremendous amount of money. And I always wonder, you know, how they're doing. It's got to be a tremendous upkeep. The room rates can't cover it all, so I was happy to lose $5. If it meant that a wonderful monument like this could be fiscally solvent for another couple of nanoseconds, then I'd done my part. I'd done my bit for Vegas. Because I sure as hell wasn't going to go up to the shopping center and buy any Prado pants or... No, Prado makes gloves and shoes, don't they? Well, anyway, none of that stuff. So there I was. I'd lost $5, crestfallen. And I'm looking at the machine, and I asked the bartender if there was one of the simpler machines around. Because obviously this thing was too complex for me. Next to me, of course, is an 80-year-old woman who's slapping the buttons like an old pro. And somehow her ossified synapses can process the information correctly. But me, no, I can't get it. So he points me to another machine, which is more my speed, and he gives me a drink. It's happened twice, actually. And at first we thought, that's a pity drink. I don't need your pity liquor. But it's really not. It's meant to loosen up your inhibitions, of course, and gamble a little bit more. Damn if it didn't work. But the diner's dry. There's no alcohol here. Unless they got a license. Huh. Well, it's time to play some music, isn't it? It's been a while here. Let's see what they stocked the jukebox with today. Let's go right to the top to A1.
Something like this.
B.
B forever near.
I.
I'm needing you right here.
M.
In my heart and soul.
G.
The things you do for me.
O.
Make me love you so. Bingo. B24.
B24.
I-37.
I-37.
N-52.
N-52.
G-26.
G-26.
Sorry, I wasn't able to share that with you. I was outside. What was that song? Bingo? Was it the B-I-N-G-O thing? You know, B-I-N-G-O, Ever since I became used to the acronym NGO for non-government organization, that's how I hear the song every time. B-I, non-government organization, B-I, non-government organizations. Ruined it for me, frankly. And if I remember that song correctly, there was a farmer, had a dog. Bingo was his name. Oh. Love the way that they can get away with rhyming stuff easily in children's songs. It's like Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss managed to make everything rhyme because he was making up words. It's very easy to come up with a word for rhinoceros when you can just posit the existence of a pustoceros or something like that. Anyway, it was never quite clear if Bingo was the farmer or the dog. There was a farmer had a dog. Stop. Bingo was his name. We could still be talking about the farmer. It would be helpful if there was some visual aid here. The camera would go to the farmer, then down to the dog, and then back up to the farmer to indicate that he, not the dog, was the possessor of the name Bingo, which is unlikely, unless he's, I don't know, Sicilian or something. Anyway, I was outside to see if they've made any cosmetic changes at the diner, because it's gotten dark, and I didn't notice anything on the way in, but I sort of had assumed that they might have changed the neon profile on the roof. Yes, they did. You'll recall our friend, the 9-foot, shrunk a little bit. The Pillsbury Doughboy Terminator robot from the future. He was the one that I sent back at some point in the future, back to the past, which was then the present, to take me back to the past to save the diner, which failed. And ever since then, we've had a giant statue of the Pillsbury Doughboy here at the diner. It's a long story. For a while, he was on the roof, and then he was standing on a plinth, specially constructed for that fact, and he would be seasonal, shall we say. He did the whole pumpkin head at Thanksgiving, at Halloween time. Christmas, he was decked out like St. Nick's. Valentine's Day, they painted him pink and put him up on one leg and made him into Cupid. It was really, really not something you want to see. But it's fascinating what they've done now. They've motorized him, which of course isn't difficult, him being a robot and all that, but they managed to access the controls because now he's moving. He's actually, well, he's sort of our version of Vegas Vic. The Pillsbury Doughboy robot is standing out on his plinth and he's moving his arm. It's bending at the elbow and it's pointing into the diner, just like old that famous Vegas Vic statue. He even cocked one of his legs in there. And he even stuck a cigarette in his mouth, although it's not really a cigarette, it's a smoldering rug they just rolled up and set on fire. I think soaked it in some creosote or something. And it's quite horrifying, frankly. But there must be something about a giant neon-lit creature smoking with one thumb jerking into a neon-lit establishment that tells you you're in the presence of gaming. Because I'm just watching the cars pull into the parking lot. It's just astonishing. And people are just pouring into the place. I'm no longer at home here. I don't feel like I belong anymore. Maybe we should break for a couple of commercial messages. I'm going to be right back.
Never borrow money needlessly, just when you must. Borrow them where loans are a specialty from folks you trust. Borrow confidently from HSC.
Household Finance Corporation offices are listed in your telephone book.
$1,000, that's the maximum amount of MPC you're allowed to have at any one time. And you'd better be able to account for where you got that. If there's a currency change or you leave the country, don't be left holding the bag. A bag full of unauthorized MPC. Check with your unit command for details.
Excuse me. Coming through.
Filling up here. Good Lord. Well, at least they're going to make some money tonight. There's a prophylactic dispenser in the bathroom. That's where I just was. And there's now a prophylactic dispenser on the wall with aspirin and, no dose. So people can stay up all night and not get a headache and then get an escort, I guess. I guess that's what they're assuming. They're not even a good brand. They're not even Trojans. They're Spartans. And the slogan is, nothing gets past a Spartan. It's just... And then people are going... Why's everybody going in the kitchen? There must be a buffet line in there or something. At least we're attracting a lot of people. I'm sure they're going to make money now. It's going to be hard for them to shut the diner down if it's a going concern. It seems to have lost something, doesn't it? All right, well, let's try something in the jukebox here. Something that might restore our faith in the diner of yore. Let's go to B2. And don't anybody shout bingo. This sounds decent and wholesome. Finally.
During the North African campaign, a bunch of soldier boys had been on a long hike, and they arrived in a little town called Casino. The next morning, being Sunday, several of the boys went to church. A sergeant commanded the boys in church, and after the chaplain had read the prayer, the text was taken up next. Those of the boys who had a prayer book took them out, but this one boy had only a deck of cards, and so he spread them out. The sergeant saw the cards and said, "Soldier, put away those cards." After the services were over, the soldier was taken prisoner and brought before the provost marshal. The marshal said, "Sergeant, why have you brought this man here?" "For playing cards in church, sir." "And what have you to say for yourself, son?" "Much, sir," replied the soldier. The marshal said, "I hope so. For if not, I shall punish you more than any man was ever punished."
What is this, Pilate versus Jesus?
The soldier said, "Sir, I have been on the march for about 6 days. I had neither Bible nor prayer book, but I hope to satisfy you, sir, with the purity of my intentions." And with that, the boy started his story. "You see, sir, when I look at the ace, it reminds me that there is but one God. And the deuce reminds me that the Bible is divided into two parts, the Old and the New Testament. When I see the tray, I think of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when I see the four, I think of the four evangelists who preached the gospel. There was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
And Bugsy.
And when I see the five, it reminds me of the five wise virgins who trimmed their lamps.
Then there were five who lamped their trims.
There were ten. Hi-oh! Five were wise and were saved. Five were foolish and were shut out. When I see the six, it reminds me that in 6 days God made this great heaven and earth. When I see the seven, it reminds me that on the seventh day God rested from his great work. And when I see the eight, I think of the eight righteous persons God saved when he destroyed this earth. There was Noah, his wife, their sons, and their wives. And when I see the nine, I think of the lepers our Savior cleansed, and nine out of the ten didn't even thank him. When I see the ten, I think of the Ten Commandments God handed down to Moses on a table of stone. When I see the king, it reminds me there is but one King of heaven, God Almighty. And when I see the Queen, I think of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is Queen of Heaven, and the Jack of Knave is the devil. When I count the number of spots on a deck of cards, I find 365, the number of days in a year. There are 52 cards, the number of weeks in a year. There are 4 suits, the number of weeks in a month. There are 12 picture cards, the number of months in a year. There are 13 tricks, the number of weeks in a quarter. So, you see, sir, my pack of cards serves me as a Bible, an almanac, and a prayer book. And friends, the story is true. I know. I was that soldier.
BS, you're Wink Martindale. There's no way. No way. And what about the guy in the bicycle? When I see the guy in the bicycle, I am reminded that we all can fall over if we lose our balance in this world. Love the idea that the guy was going to be brought up on charges for bringing out a deck of cards in church in the army. Different times. You know, I've seen so many people go downstairs and not come back up. I mean, go into the kitchen, and I assume they're going downstairs because the kitchen is not going to hold. There's no way they're running a buffet, and I don't see anybody coming out with plates. Let's go see what's in the basement, shall we? Crowd here. Excuse me. Longtime patron. Pulling rank. Coming through. Excuse me. I'm getting some hard looks here. The kitchen is still going on. Still frying up stuff here. There's a line. There's a line in the kitchen to the door down to the diner basement. The mysterious diner basement. Last time I was in there was Halloween. And just starting to sort through all the crates and stuff. We found those horrible... Well, what would be downstairs? Excuse me. Hold on a second here. I'm just going to get ahead in line and open up the door here. Wow. It's really bright down there. Well, I'm heading down. Money to buy the diner from the new owners. I'm gonna give it a shot, folks. Wish me luck. Thanks for dropping by. I'll see you next week. This is James Lilac, and this has been the diner for Friday, February 15th, 2008. I'll see you down the road.